know we can find a way to stand up, stand up, stand up.
I have a guest coming up in a minute, but I want to just finish up with Dylan first. Dylan just called right at the end of the second hour there. We ran out of time. And Dylan is 19 years old. He said that he got fired today. He was fired. And now he wants to commit suicide or thinking of committing suicide. And just need to talk about that. So, Dylan, you said that you have not forgiven your father?
Yes, that's right.
And what did your father do that you need to forgive him for?
He beat my mother. He verbally abused her and threw a lot of furniture, including, like, lamps and stuff around when I was a kid.
And what did that have to do with you if you were fighting with your mother? That didn't have anything to do with you. Why do you resent her for that?
Because my mom's traumatized and she can't get over it. I'm just, I don't know. I feel like I can't help my dad because he's just full of anger, and I can't help my mom because she's just traumatized. I don't know.
But why do you want to help your mother? It's not you or your dad overcome that. It's not your job to do that. And whatever trauma your mother's going through, she brought it up on herself. And whatever trauma your father going through, he brought it up on himself. You had two adult people fighting one another, which is not unusual. Why are you concerned about that?
I don't know. I just thought, like, I don't know. I thought, like, I'm supposed to look to my parents for, like, leadership, but I guess not. Is that what you're saying?
Well, when you were growing up as a child, when you were first born and growing, they were supposed to have been perfect parents for you so that you could see the right way to go, but they were not. They hated one another. Your father married to his mother. I guarantee you, your mother is just like his mother. He married his mother. He became a little boy. He could not handle mother, so they started fighting. She tried to control him. He tried to control her. They couldn't handle one another. So they let you down. They both let you down because they were not perfect parents. So you should forgive your father. He couldn't help himself. Forgive your mother. She couldn't help herself. But otherwise, it had nothing to do with you. It's not your job to fix them. It's their job to overcome that. There's nothing you can do. And your father didn't do anything to you. It was the mother and father fighting, so you should be mad at him about that. And your mother was not and is not your responsibility. You're the son. They're the parent. That's not your responsibility.
Okay.
And you should be mad at your father about that. He didn't do it to you.
Yeah. I simply just, I don't know. Where can I look for leadership? Because, I mean, you from what you've heard, I don't know where to go.
Now that you're 19, you should look for it within yourself. It's not in the world. It's in you. So I recommend you go to your father and apologize to him for resenting him because you were wrong for holding things against him. He didn't do anything to you, according to what you said. And just ask him what happened and just say, hey, Dad, I'm sorry for holding things against you. And I was wrong for identifying with my mother. Your mother made you identify with her by playing victim. But your mother was not a victim. Women are not victims. Women are as bad as men are, but the women pretend to be the victim so they can turn the children away from the father. And so if you go and forgive your father, don't ask him to forgive you. You forgive him. Your life would change, and you would never have to worry about suicidal thoughts anymore. And do you realize that your thoughts are not your own?
No. What do you mean by that?
Do you create thoughts?
They just kind of happen. I don't think I create them, I guess, but I've never thought about that.
So I want to know because do you create thoughts? Give me a yes or no.
I'll go no. No, I don't create thoughts.
And do you think that God will ever tell you to take your own life?
No, that doesn't sound right. Yeah.
And so the only other choice is evil telling you to take your own life. Why would you listen to evil? It's not going to tell you anything good. Why would you listen to a thought that's telling you to take your own life? That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
So you need to stop listening to the lies, because you're not your thoughts. You don't create thoughts. And all thoughts are lies. The ones that tell you, make you feel good, and the ones that make you feel bad. They build you up just to let you down. Stop listening to it. You're 19 years old, man. You got a long life ahead of you. You're going to have an amazing life. And stop. Go and forgive your father. You'll be free, and it's going to be amazing.
Okay. But thank you, Jesse.
I want you to do my silent prayer. Do my silent prayer .video.
Will that, like, help with the thoughts, I guess?
Absolutely.
Will that help?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Silentprayer.video. Go and forgive your father. Forgive your mother. She was wrong for making you identify with her by playing victim. She is not a victim. Your mother was screwed up before your father even met her, and her mother screwed her up, and her father did not protect her from her mother. And so your father couldn't see what he was getting into.
Okay. That makes more sense than I could even put to words.
Yeah. And so go forgive your father, do my silent prayer, and doubt every thought. Don't believe any thought, no matter if they bring up the past, which doesn't exist, or the so-called future. Just live in the present. Don't let anger go by forgiving your parents, and you'll be fine.
Okay.
So, Dylan, do the silent prayer, forgive your father, and call me back.
I can do that. Thank you, man.
And let me know how it goes. And just look around you. You have more to be grateful for than you have to be believing in lies of those thoughts. You're not your thoughts. Those are not your own.
You're right.
That makes sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. It makes perfect sense.
And so now you want to live, right?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Yeah, look around you. The springtime is coming. The grass is still green. Everything is still happening. You're just living in your imagination, and it's not real. The thoughts are an illusion. Living in the present is real. All right?
Yeah.
All right. And you'll find another job, and then move away from your mama.
I definitely can do that. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Get away from her, because she would put all that mess on you, and you don't need her load. Let her carry her own load. That's not your responsibility.
Yes, that makes sense.
All right. Let me know how it goes, buddy.
Can do. Thank you.
All right. Call me back. Appreciate you.
Will do. Appreciate you, too.
All right. Oh, man. Aboob is here. He's back. Aboob is a YouTuber, businessman, ex-convict, and a fan of the Jesse Lee Peterson Show, and I do appreciate that. Aboob, welcome back, sir.
Hey, Jesse, how are you? Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir, I appreciate you coming back. So, remind us why you went to prison for a while.
Well, starting off at a very early age, I got mixed up in basically hanging out with the wrong people. I made a lot of mistakes in life, and the effects of having been incarcerated as a juvenile basically stuck with me. I was doing well for myself as a young man. I always worked since the age of 12, and the thing that really kicked it all off and began my downfall was a fight where I was attacked by a bouncer outside of a nightclub with a baseball bat. So in my defending myself, I just went way too far and ended up hurting this guy very badly. And as a result, I was facing significant prison time. And during that time that I was on bail waiting for the outcome of that case to present itself, I just mentally declined and I fell into a spiral of, you know, negativity. I didn't feel any motivation or desire to work. I thought that there was no hope for me. And when someone loses hope in life, you know, it's the worst thing, because it just, nothing good comes of it. And as a result, I ended up doing a lot of bad things and committing a lot of crimes. So,
you were faced, at one point, you were facing 143 years in prison as a young man, right?
That's correct. That's including all of the cases that I had. I had multiple cases. Age 22, I walked in front of a judge and he explained to me that I was facing 143 years in prison.
Amazing.
I was being prosecuted by local municipalities, prosecutors, and the state of New Jersey decided to actually upgrade my charges, and they assigned a special prosecutor for organized crime who handled my case.
And so when you in and out of jail, you would go and serve some time and they would let you out, you commit more crime and go back. Were you in and out?
I've been arrested multiple times as a juvenile for minor things.
Right.
Did serve 1 year in prison as a juvenile. And then going back to the case I just mentioned with that fight, I got arrested there. I sat in jail for some time. I bailed out. And then while on bail, I got arrested two more times. Amazing. I was under investigation by multiple different agencies and task forces. And that's how I ended up facing all that time.
Why being in jail the first time did not convince you that once you got out, you would never go back again? You wouldn't do crime again. Why weren't you convinced the first time?
That's a very good question, Jesse. So because I bailed out, I still did not know the outcome, ultimately how much time in prison I was going to serve for that case. So mentally, that's a very difficult thing to not know what's to come. I hired attorneys. Those attorneys were explaining to me that I was going to end up doing decades in prison. So being free in the real world, technically, I wasn't free mentally or emotionally. Every day I woke up and went to bed thinking I'm going to prison for 10 years, 20 years. So it was so difficult for me to put that aside and do anything productive and good.
And what made them reduce your sentence from 143 years? Why did they reduce it?
Well, they didn't actually reduce it because I wasn't sentenced to that. That's what I was facing.
Oh, I see.
So what happened was I was sitting in county jail for a year and a half before my case actually went to the trial phase. During that time, the state of New Jersey was counting on co-defendants of mine to cooperate with them and testify against me. When that ultimately didn't happen, and I just told them I'm going to trial, they realized that they didn't have a strong case against me. They didn't want to take the chance of losing the trial. I was also in a position where I had a 50-50 chance of losing or winning. It wasn't worth the risk for me. So at that point, I was able to negotiate. Initially, they started with one offer, and they told me that was going to be my only offer. It was 30 years where I had to serve a mandatory 85% before parole eligibility. Ultimately, what I ended up getting sentenced to was a total of 20 years where I only had to serve five. Amazing. So I have multiple convictions, but I only had to serve a five-year prison term.
Why are you in support of so-called prison reforms? Why are you in support of that?
I don't know specifically what you're referring to, but the thing that I am passionate about and something that I've tried to get momentum behind is what I call criminal disqualification. So it's not necessarily having anything to do with letting people out of prison or shortening their sentences, but what it has to do with is there are millions of people in this country who have criminal convictions, felony convictions such as myself. And to those people, once they get out, they've already served their time, they've paid the price for their crimes, but basically you're disenfranchised. You cannot get a job, especially with the internet these days. Every single employer will run a background check and you can't work anymore.
Right.
You can't vote anymore, you can't have firearms anymore, and you're not allowed to receive government benefits in the form of housing or college and multiple others. So the way I feel about it is, using my case as an example, I sat down with the Attorney General of New Jersey and we made a deal. That sentencing structure is a deal. They laid out all the terms of the deal and I agreed to it. I signed it. They signed it. But nowhere in that deal did they ever say that I would lose these rights and that employers would be able to use this against me for the rest of my life. So the question I have is for people who maybe 20, 30 years ago were convicted of crimes, what are these people supposed to do? If they want to do well, they left that part of their lives behind them. If I wasn't so fortunate to be able to have my own business, what would I do? I have a wife and three daughters. I want to do the right thing, but nobody will give me a chance because of things that happened more than 10 years ago.
But whose fault is it if you know before you commit the crime that the law is, if you commit the crime, first of all, you do the time, you lose all of your rights as a regular citizen would. That is a deterrent to keep you from doing the crime. But if you insist on doing the crime anyway, don't you deserve the results of what you've done? And so if they can't find a job, they can't vote, they can't do this, they brought that up on themselves, right?
That's a very fair point. But I think the deterrent is that you're going to go to prison if you commit crimes. The prison term in itself is the punishment. But after you serve the punishment, I don't think it's fair to basically just leave people to fend for themselves and say, okay, don't commit any more crime, but at the same time, you're not going to be able to get a job. It doesn't serve society in any way to leave these people in this situation, because at the end of the day, they're going to be forced to survive in some way. And no one's going to starve. And if you're given a choice between commit a crime or starve or not feed your children, they're going to commit the crime. So in a sense, they're being forced back into criminality.
But not if they have self-control, because if you go to prison committing the first crime, prison's supposed to be tough. Like it used to be, put them on the road and make them fish the roads and do all that stuff. And if you do it again, knowing the consequences, you deserve what you get. And the people that you do the crime against, commit the crime against, they're still suffering from what you've done. Why should you have freedom when you get out of jail while the person that you committed the crime against are still suffering?
Again, I understand your perspective, and I know that many Americans probably share that point of view. But what I ask is to put yourself in the shoes of someone like I'm explaining about. You committed one mistake. All of us have made mistakes in lives. Most of us have committed crimes in our lives and just not gotten caught. I'm sure yourself, at some point, you've broken some law. I heard you say before you smoked marijuana before, correct?
Right.
That was illegal, but you did it anyway and you didn't get caught. So let's just say you did get caught at that point and you ended up having to go to jail. It was 30, 40 years ago. Is it fair to you that for the rest of your life, society tells you you're basically outcasted and banned?
Yeah, because we get what we deserve in life. So if you put that out, knowing that you're taking that kind of risk, you have to be ready to deal with the consequence. And when you're ready to deal with the consequence of taking that risk, committing a crime, when you're ready to accept that, then things will open up for you anyway. But if you're trying to force society to treat you well after committing a crime, then that's not good.
I understand, again, your perspective on it. But keep in mind, Jesse, that most of the people that end up in the prison system, first of all, prison in itself is a bad place. There's a lot of suffering there, and you are punished severely when you go there. But most of the people that end up in these situations, they made these mistakes as very young men.
A crime is not a mistake. You have to think about doing a crime. A mistake is when you stump your toe walking down the hall or something. But a crime is something you think about before doing it.
Well, I'll give you an example using myself. In that case, I was attacked by a man that was way bigger than me, over 100 pounds heavier than me, and he attacked me with a metal baseball bat. He ended up losing the fight. Technically, according to the law, I was facing prison because I hurt him very, very badly. Is that premeditated? I had no intention of hurting this man. I had no intention. I didn't even know him. I was defending myself.
You were defending yourself, but that wasn't, that's not a mistake. You were defending yourself. The way you present it, you were not committing a crime because you defended yourself. That brought that upon you.
The state of New Jersey charged me with crimes, and they explained to me that there are no self-defense laws to protect you, because basically, once the guy was no longer a threat to me, I continued to beat him and hurt him beyond that point. So they told me now I'm facing weapons charges because I took the baseball bat from him, and I was facing aggravated assault charges with severe bodily injury and multiple other charges. So I didn't go out looking for this, but it came to me. It was something that happened where, yeah, technically I was wrong. I should have stopped. I should not have hurt him as much as I did. But the truth is, this man could have killed me.
Right. That's right. Well, you said New Jersey, right?
Correct.
Well, Democrats control New Jersey. They are crazy. They have no sense. My concern is prison life is not a tough life anymore, because you go there, you get color TV, you get free meal 3 days a week. You can have sex with different boys, and boys with boys, girls with girls. You party with the workers there. You kind of, it's not as tough anymore.
It's easy for you to say that, having never gone through that. But I can assure you, the places that I've been, many of these places were living hell. All right, I was put in solitary confinement situations where I was only allowed out for 10 minutes twice a week to take a shower. In those 10 minutes, I had to be escorted with handcuffs and shackles and officers on both sides. And there are many, many instances in prison where you're forced to become an animal just to survive. So it's not as simple as you think.
Amazing.
It sounds like it's a pleasant place to be. And there are some places that are easier than others, but I can assure you that prison is nothing like that.
Well, it's easy for black people because they're scared to punish black people in jail. Or in prison, so it's not a big deal for them.
Well, listen, some people, black people included, get accustomed to it. This is part of their upbringing, and they go in and out, and they don't see a problem with it. I saw that many times in serving my time where somebody was there, they got released, and they came back. And when they come back, they're all celebrating, saying friends and families. But I'm not like that.
Right.
And many other people also, We do want to change. I realized my mistake, and the prison was enough. I never would go back again. Right. I never committed a crime since, and I became a man of God. And there are other people similarly who just want another chance. That's all we're asking for, is another chance. And when you look at the laws of the United States, this is the only instance where people are legally allowed to discriminate. You're not allowed to discriminate against anybody except for ex-convicts.
So we run out of time. Real short answer. So did God change you, or the experience in prison change you?
God.
How can people get in contact with you? How can they listen to your show or watch you, read you?
They can see my YouTube channel. It's basically my first name, Abood. It's A-B-O-U-D.
Abood, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
Anytime, man. Thank you very much.
All right. God bless you. Ann is a first-time caller out of New Jersey. Ann, thank you for calling.
Hi.
And thanks for holding you on the air.
Thank you so much. So happy to talk to you.
Thank you.
I feel like I've been waking up, and I can't get enough of your show. It's been just amazing to listen to. Thank you.
Once you wake up, Anne, you cannot go back to sleep, so you're very blessed.
That's true. I still don't think I'm fully awake because I'm confused on a few things, but
okay.
Starting to wake up. So, yeah, a few of the things you've said I've heard before immediately resonate with me, but then you said one thing that just stopped me in my tracks about the anger coming from the mother.
Yes.
Or from a woman in general, like that being a womanly emotion.
Yes.
Excuse me. And the person that I'd seen as the most strong in my life was my father, but he was also very angry. He didn't, like, you know, hit us or anything, but he had this rage. Now I almost see it as like temper tantrums, but as a child, it was, you know, it was a little scary. So anyhow, why would that be? Do you think that's because of his mother's influence on him?
100%. Anger that, Joel, the battery is low on one of the cameras. You read that? The anger of a man is that of a woman. Men who are angry are like their mothers. They become like their mothers. So it's not, men don't naturally have anger.
I never knew. I was so astonished by that. Also, in our society and TV and whatnot, you see men being angry. So
right.
I always associated that as a manly emotion.
And the reason they put it, they show it that way because not all, especially women, it's hard for women to admit that they are wrong. Most women are sending you to hell before they admit that they're wrong. If you went to your mother and said, "Hey, Mom, I'm sorry for resenting you because you drove Dad nuts. You turned us away from him." Most mothers would not admit that to you. She would rather let you suffer than to admit that she's wrong. And so that's why they're pushing it, pretending that the anger is that of the man when it's really coming from the woman.
In the media. Okay, so the second question I have, though, on a personal note, is that I've listened to kind of your formula for going to your parents. And when I go to my mom, if I have resentment, the reason I have resentment is because I felt like she didn't protect me, like tell my dad to stop that. But then after listening to you, it sounds like that's not her job, that he is supposed to protect her from me.
100%.
So, but I've been resentful toward her for not protecting him. For not protecting me from him. So I don't even know if I have a right to feel that toward her because apparently that wasn't her job.
It wasn't.
Does that make sense?
Right. And the reason, one of the reasons that your mother didn't protect you from the father, there are more than one reason, but number one is that she wanted to make you believe that she was a victim because she was trying to turn you away from the father so that you can worship her. And so she played victim.
Okay.
That's why she didn't tell you.
But wasn't she, if he was angry with her?
Because...
Was she legitimately or no?
No, because she was bringing out the anger that his mother put in him. Your father was married to his mother because you become like whomever you're angry at. And men become attracted to the kind of women, a woman just like their mother.
Mm-hmm.
And so he ended up marrying the same spirit as in his mother was in your is in your mother. So, and when he got with your mother, he didn't know how to handle it. That's why he became worse. She just brought out the worst in him because he never knew how to handle his mother either. He didn't see his father dealing with her right. And so he reacted in the same way a woman would react with your mother.
Okay. That makes sense to me when I think about it. But when I just, think of my grandmother and my mom, their energy, their spirit seems so different. When you describe it like that, I'm like, yeah, I could totally see that scenario. But then when I think of my mom, I'm like, she seems nothing like my grandmother, my dad's mom.
Yeah, her mother, right?
No, my mom seems nothing like my dad's mother. Like, my mom doesn't seem to have that spirit of anger in her.
But
that
she
I
does.
Definitely saw. Okay.
Ask your father about it. He'll tell you. Women, not all, but most women live off anger. They love anger. That's why they don't forgive really easily because they can get up in the morning, make breakfast, send you off to school, make breakfast for the husband, send him off to work, and clean the house and cook and have dinner ready. The husband come home from work, she'll cuss him out, cuss out the kids, clean up and go to bed because they live off anger.
But my mom wasn't like that.
But she may not have been that extreme, but she had the anger. That's why you would see your father reacting to her.
Gotcha. Okay.
What I would recommend, Anne, is that you ask your father, what was it like dealing with my mother? And he'll tell you what that was like.
Mm-hmm.
And then forgive your father for the way he, all that anger that he had, because as a child, boys and girls need their parents to be perfect. And a perfect parent do not have anger. And when they have anger, whether it's one or the other or both, they cause you to become angry. And then that, you fall away from innocence and wake up to their personality.
Right. Okay.
That makes sense?
Yes. Makes sense.
Have you gone to them and forgiven them?
No.
Why not?
With my dad, there were a couple of times when we were young, where he cried in front of me. I guess just the level of discomfort that I'm anticipating. I feel like he might cry, and it makes me so uncomfortable.
Right, because a daughter doesn't want, or a son, especially daughters, don't want to see their father crying like some little beta male. But when you see, and he's only
He's like a big, strong man, so it's very disconcerting.
Right.
Yeah.
But inside, he's a woman.
Yeah.
The body may be big. He can make him lift wood. But inside, he's a woman. And because
I see that now. That took me a long time, but I totally see that now.
Yeah, he has not forgiven his mother. So when you go to him, if you go to him, ask him about it. If he starts crying, just watch him cry, knowing that he couldn't help himself. And then forgive him. Just say, it wasn't nice seeing you cry. It's not good seeing you be weak and angry. But I'm sorry for holding that against you. I realize now you can't help yourself.
Okay.
But let him cry, but you still forgive so that God can forgive you.
Right.
And don't say, I love you, Dad. Don't tiptoe around it. Forgive him because angry people don't have love. So if you're angry at him, you have no love. But you will, once you forgive him, the perfect love will operate through you, and you can love your father in the right way.
Okay.
And forgive your mother, too. Think about the stuff that your mother have done that got on your nerve, and forgive her for that. And I'm telling you, when you start your family, it will be totally different.
I hope so.
Yeah, it will, because
I have. That's my motivation. I have started my family, and I know I don't want. I want to end this cycle, whatever.
Yes.
And that's why I started waking up, and it really still scares me, the idea of going to them. But I'll do that for my kids.
Yeah, it's abnormal to be afraid of your parents. The reason you're afraid because you do resent them. You have that anger, and anger brings on fear, and so that's
right.
Why you're scared to deal with them. But mm-hmm. once you do it, you're shaking your boots. But once you do it, you would never have fear again. You would never know fear anymore.
Oh, wow. Just be strong and just do it. I just keep waiting. Just be strong and do it anyway.
That's right. Shaking your boots, do it anyway. And I'm telling you, you would never know fear again. Nor will you know anger anymore either. And that way you'll pass down perfect love to your children.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah. It is. It really is. Are you doing my silent prayer?
No, I started it months ago, and I just kept falling asleep, and I quit really quickly.
Suffer.
Uh-huh.
Well, I recommend you do it because it just helps you to come out of your the thoughts, which are all lies, and you'll be able to see clearer and clearer. It'll just get better for you. You'll really be able to see. And after a while, you won't need to use the tape itself, because you'll wake up and you'll see.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Desi. Appreciate it.
Are you married? You're welcome. Are you married?
Yes.
Are you giving
your
husband hell already?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Over a decade, he loves me through it. And it's much different now. But early on, I did.
Yeah, and apologize to your kids too, and once you forgive, you're never gonna treat them that way either, again.
Okay.
Apologize to them, let them know, hey, I was wrong, I'm sorry, and then go and forgive your parents, and that way your kids would trust you when you say you're sorry, and they would know you would never do it again.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, man. God bless you. Call me. Let me know how it goes.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Jesse. Take care. Bye.
All right. Bye now. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Dustin is from Canada. Dustin, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Good morning, Jesse.
Hey, Dustin. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm a little sick, so if you can't hear me that well, I apologize.
No, you're coming across fine. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, no, I tuned in when we were talking about Daniel there, and I'm not 100% sure what happened, but one thing I wanted to say was that, like, you know, I'm pretty sick right now, right? I've been running a temperature for past couple of days over 100, and you know, I just started this job.
Did you go to the doctor?
Warehouse. Pardon?
Did you go to the doctor?
I didn't go to the doctor. I couldn't really get out of bed.
What are you taking for the fever? It's not good to have a fever like that.
No, it really isn't, actually, and I don't know how you're going to agree with this or not, but in Canada it's legal. So I've been pumping a lot of what they call CBD into me.
You smoke a lot of pot?
It's not, well, yeah, a little bit.
Is it pot or not? I don't know what CBD is.
Yeah, I know, that's the thing. It's a little bit different.
But it's the same as
you high.
Huh?
It's like that honey that you got. It's like that honey that you got.
Oh, then the person sent me. Oh, somebody sent me some CBD.
Yeah, it helps for a lot of stuff. But see, they haven't done a lot of research.
Yeah, I don't take it because I don't want to be high.
What is it?
I don't take it. I don't use it because I don't want to be high.
Yeah, that's the thing. It doesn't get you high. And what I've been doing is I was mixing it in my, I was putting it in honey and mixing it into a tea.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, I went through a lot of it, and I won't say that it completely cleared me up, but I'm feeling a lot better.
I hope so.
I'm feeling a lot better.
Good.
Now,
the one thing I want to tell you to break a fever, I'm not a doctor, so I'm giving you the old remedy. When you get into bed, you put on pajamas, a pajama top, or maybe sweatpants, sweat top, and get under the cover and sweat it out, you will feel much better. Because it's not good to have a fever
like
that.
Yeah, that's what I've been trying to do, right?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, exactly.
I wish you well, man.
Yeah, sure. Long story short, I just wanted to say that, you know, people that work hard and care about their job,
yeah,
right? When they work hard and it shows, and they, not that they're trying to show that they're doing a good job, but just the fact that they are.
Yes.
Those are the people that deserve another chance, and that's where I'm at right now, right? Like, I've been working really hard.
Yes.
And the fact is that, you know, my boss, I talked to them today, and they said, well, don't come back till Monday. I don't want your flu, right? And they were all casual about it, and just because, you know, I do my job.
That's right.
And I care about my job.
And who are you referring to? Are you referring to Daniel?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes.
You want to help save Daniel from getting fired for smoking pot?
is that what it is? I'm not sure, right? Like I said, I tuned in when they were just at the tail end of talking about Daniel or something. Again,
yeah, he confessed yesterday that he lied when he told me that he didn't smoke pot. And he smoked pot at night.
People are afraid to admit it because they don't want to be judged.
Well, they don't want to lose their job either.
But fair enough. I mean, if they have a drug policy where I work, and it says that you can't smoke pot on the job.
Right.
But they don't care what you do when you're not on the job. But it's for a safety thing. You know, you're operating machinery. You're doing different things around warehouse.
Yeah. Plus, Daniel said yesterday that it causes you to go unconscious because he wasn't conscious.
You can put yourself to sleep with it, right?
Yeah.
And that's what I've been doing, just to try and stay in bed. I a lot of CBD and a little bit of weed, but the mixture more so puts you to sleep.
Amazing. If you do my silent prayer, you won't need pot to put you to sleep.
I have been, and that's been helping as well.
Yeah, so, stay with it. Do it every day, every morning, every night, Daniel.
I've been doing it every morning and night, but
I know.
I have been doing it a little bit.
Stay with it, and you won't need the pot. I got to run, but thank you, man. Tyler is from a first-time caller from California. Tyler, welcome to the show.
Hey, Jesse. Thank you for having me.
Yes, sir.
So my question for you is, should men have conversations with women?
Well, it depends on the type of conversation. A man should never, ever, ever, never, 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 ever, ever, ever tell a woman his weakness, his problems. Don't show weakness and don't tell her your weakness. But if you want to help her to overcome her hell, you should do that, or if you advise her on something or help her to fix something, that's fine.
Yeah, the reason I ask is because I was listening to church, I think this past Sunday, and you were talking about Michael Jackson and R. Kelly and all that.
Yes.
And what you said was not just outright do not believe hearsay.
Right.
And I thought about it, and maybe it's just the women in my family, but I thought about all the conversations that I'd had with women, and they all revolved around people, and mostly it was hearsay.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can get sucked into it pretty easily, but, you know, I'm not talking about conversations if you work with a woman and, you know, you need to discuss something or
right.
like you do where you're giving advice, but it seems like when you're having conversations for fun, like with a friend, if you're talking to a woman, it's almost always just hearsay and lie.
That's why it's your job to correct her when she does that. Women love gossip. They love hearsay.
Huh.
And they'll put out rumors about you without any proof at all. They'll even make up stuff just to be active. And it's the man's job to not go along with that, don't participate, but to correct her with perfect love. And then she eventually overcome it.
Okay, so a follow-up to that, if you're in a relationship, and let's say everything's in order.
Right.
What's the right way to talk to your wife? If not to have conversations, is it mostly a correctional?
You say what's a perfect way to communicate with her?
Yeah, like what is that communication going to look like? You know, there's something like, are you going to pick up groceries today? Not that kind of thing, but what sort of discussions or conversations would you have with your wife?
I can tell you what not to have, and from that you can see what to have. Don't ever gossip with your wife about someone else. If she brings information to you about someone, don't go along with that, especially if it's hearsay, correct her on it. If she's not patient with you or the kids, correct her on that. But you need perfect love in order to deal with your wife perfectly, because otherwise you'll drive you nuts. If you have any anger at all, you won't be able to do it. That's why you have to overcome your mother so that you become a man again, because men are logical, whereas women are mentally and physically emotional. And so they can't help themselves. And that's why the logic man should have perfect love. He represents God, so he should have perfect love to help her overcome it. And then you will see how to deal with her in all things.
Got
because
her.
you can have fun with her. You can enjoy good laughter with her. If she needs to go to the grocery store, you can tell her. But if you have that perfect love, it'll work. If you don't, it won't work.
Makes sense. Yeah, it's become a lot clearer since I started listening to you. So
right
thank on. You very much.
You're welcome,
You're
buddy.
Doing the Lord's work now.
Great call.
You.
You're welcome. Thank you so much. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Rock. It's a first-time caller out of Florida. Rock, thank you for calling, and thanks for waiting. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Jesse. I appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir.
So it's just wanted to get your opinion on Jussie Smollett.
Juicy Smollett, not Jesse. J-E-S-S-E.
Juicy, whatever. So he pled not guilty to 16 felony charges.
Right.
So I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Yeah, breaking news from Fox News. Juicy Smollett pleaded not guilty on 16 counts of disorderly conduct stemming from alleged hate crime crime host. I wouldn't believe him. He's an open radical homosexual. He is apparently ego-driven because they say he did this for more money. I'm not surprised that he's trying to get off. I mean, most criminals do. But I wouldn't trust him. I'm not surprised that he pleaded not guilty. And I wouldn't be surprised if they try to use racism in this and blame the cops rather than blaming Juicy.
And do you think the fact that he is an openly homosexual, the LGBTQ community, that might help him in a sense?
Well, I believe that they are definitely going to use that to try to help him. The cops and everybody against him because he's black. Because he's open homosexual and all that mess. So, yeah, they will definitely try with that. I hope it doesn't work, but they're definitely going to use the victim mentality for it.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate you taking your time. I just wanted to hear your opinion on it.
Yes, sir. You're welcome.
You have a wonderful day.
Thank you. You too, Rock. Rock, rock, rock. Rodney is a first-time caller out of New Jersey. Rodney, welcome to the show, sir.
Hi, Jesse.
Hi.
I have a question for you. I know in the past you've been very critical about like affirmative action and things of that nature.
Yes.
And you've also said that most blacks that get into Ivy League schools aren't really fit to for the courses.
Right. They don't qualify. All the blacks that get in on affirmative action, and I believe they all do, they are not qualified.
Okay. So then I wanted to ask you, how do you feel about the recent scandal where these Hollywood parents were caught paying to get their kids in school and cheating on the scores to get them into Ivy League colleges? How do you feel about that?
We talked about it in the beginning of this hour. I'm not surprised mm-hmm. because white people have allowed themselves to be intimidated by black people, and the blacks have taken over their schools, not because the blacks deserve it or earn it, but because they're black. And when they get into these schools, they attack white people. And so white people are a handicap right now. So the only way they can get their kids into the school, they're going to have to buy their way in. So I'm not surprised.
Okay. All right.
That
thank
makes
you
sense?
For taking my call.
That makes sense?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Rodney. Good question. I agree. Alice is out of Pennsylvania. Alice, real fast, you're on the air.
Jesse, the wall going up.
Oh, the wall going up.
Hey, I just wanted to call. I called before, but I saw Daniel talking about the pot yesterday.
Are you on the speakerphone?
Yeah, let me get off of it.
Yeah.
All right, I'm good now.
Oh, man, never ever call on a speaker. Go ahead.
I heard Daniel talking about the pot.
Yes.
And I think you guys should take it easy on him. I've been in that position before. I was on the pot for a little bit, but then I stopped. You know, I just started living my life different.
Right.
And I think Daniel can do the same.
I do too. I think he'll be fine. You're absolutely right.
So, hey, is Joe Allen there?
Yes, he can hear you.
He black. Hey, thank you, Jesse.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it, Alex. He black. Robert is out of Kansas. Robert, thank you for calling. Thanks for holding. You're on the air.
The Great Black Hope.
The Great Black Hope. Hey, buddy. How are you?
Thank you for having me on.
Yes, sir.
I'm doing well. How are you?
All is well.
That's good. It's good to hear you. You had that doctor on talking about exercise, and I think that's very
he's not
underappreciated for the effects that has down the line for your health.
But he's not a doctor. He's not a doctor.
Go ahead.
He's not a doctor. He's a physical trainer expert.
Okay. A health expert. But in terms of exercise, I worked as a trainer for a while, and I can tell you if you do four things, you will live longer. And it's just the way the body works. You know, if you have to move the body, you have to nourish the body, clean the body, rest the body. If you do those four things, your body will work better. You'll think better. Your brain will work better. And then if you do want to live longer, one thing that I have seen research to back up is that fasting. Now, you have to do it the right way. But if you learn how to fast your body every month or every week or whatever, apparently it has massive impact on the longevity on which you live. You can live to be 100, 120, stuff like that, just by learning how to fast.
But fasting is a new thing, too, because when I was growing up, people were not fasting, and yet they lived long lives.
Well, they probably had a diet and a timing of their diet, and that led to an intermittent fasting or a difference between the constant diet where we eat three times a day, heavy meals, calorie laden. The trainer talked about sugar. The expert. There's things like that different about our diet where if you're sedentary and then you eat like you're a field hand.
I think Patrick, you're going
to have problems with your body.
He made a good point because he did say that we were, in those days, especially down in Alabama, we were working, we were moving about. We were not just sitting around doing nothing, but we were moving about. Thank you, Robert. I absolutely appreciate it. Let's go to Richard. It's a first-time caller out of Massachusetts. Richard, welcome to the show.
Hello, I know it's a little bit late, but I wanted to ask, what do you think about what Liam Neeson said?
What do you think about what Liam Neeson said? Who is Liam Neeson?
The actor.
I don't know what Liam Neeson said.
He said that he wanted to kill a black person because a person was raped.
Oh yeah.
Oh, we did that a long time ago. I don't know what I think about that. I do know that in the heat of the moment, if you overreact to a situation, you can say and do things that you wouldn't ordinarily do. Oh, I kind of remember that story. I think his somebody was allegedly raped by a black person, right? And he said he wanted to go out. Allegedly said he wanted to kill black people for doing that.
Yeah.
When you overreact to situations, you will say and do things that you would not ordinarily say and do. When you don't overreact, that's why you have to overcome anger so that you won't overreact to situations. Thank you, Richard. I appreciate that. Yeah, that red light is flashing. Okay. Why is that? So that's what I know about that. Richard from California. Richard, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hey, what's up, man?
All is well. How you doing, Richard?
Pretty good. Hey, how's Miguel doing, man?
Oh.
The guy that's smoking weed? That was awesome.
His name is
amazing.
His name is Daniel.
Oh, Daniel, my bad. I called him Miguel when they called me now. Well, yeah, Daniel, he's doing all right or what?
Yeah, he's doing fine.
That's awesome, man. That's cool. You give him like second, third, fourth chances. You got to give him some room to grow, you know?
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right, bro.
And Daniel is a good guy. He really is a good, hardworking guy. Absolutely.
Yeah, man. Actually, something is the opposite going on with me, bro. Check it out. I'm getting fired.
You're getting fired?
You know what?
Why?
Check it out. Check it out, brother. Alpha! You know what I mean? I'm having a great day, bro. I'm getting fired. It's all good. Alpha! So check it out. my buddy Ed from Colorado told me to tell you that. But anyhow, I'm getting fired today because I support Trump and because I'm Christian.
And how do you know those are the reasons that you're getting fired?
Oh, I got somebody on the inside. I got somebody hired at that job, and they're telling me everything these other girls are saying.
And
in the morning, when I come into work, all I hear is like, "Hey, did you hear about what Trump did? Did you hear about Trump this and Trump that?" And I'm like, all right, whatever. You know, I'm gonna keep cool. I'm not gonna react like a woman.
How do you know you're getting fired?
Oh, like I said, there's a person I got hired in this job.
Yeah,
I got them a job. I got them work where I'm
right.
Currently occupied for the next few hours.
Right.
Tells me everything that the other people are saying.
So let me ask: are you like promoting your politics at work?
No. I walk in. I don't say a word. They ask me. I go, I don't want to talk about it.
Well,
they ask me about Christianity, and I go, wait. Well, that, you know, I'm going to defend the word of God for sure. So they asked me one time about what do you think about homosexuals? So I'm like, well, they're an abomination. That's what the Bible says. That's what I believe. Period. The end.
Okay. Wait. Let me tell you this. Here's my do what you want, of course. If I were you, I would I would calm down. And I wouldn't just take somebody else's word that you're getting fired because it would cause you to overreact based on what somebody else said.
I totally understand that.
I would wait and see. And if you haven't done anything wrong, then they don't have a right to just fire you.
No, I haven't done anything wrong.
So then don't let you have
mistakes other people are making, and then they're blaming it on me, and I'm like, I go, okay.
Well,
we're supposed to be a quote unquote team, but all right. You know, you guys want to play that game, so you got politics going on at work, so.
No, don't assume all that at all. I would stand up and I would talk to the boss and explain to them how your side of it. And then.
I already did.
But stay calm. So you don't know you're getting fired. It's just a rumor, right?
No. I know for sure. I walk in the room, everyone just got quiet, ignore me, and then. And then a person that my friend at work looks at me and shakes his head like,
And how long have you been working there?
Damn. How long have you been like this?
How long have you been working there?
About a year and a half.
Oh, okay. And how are you okay with getting fired?
But I've lost jobs. I got laid off a couple times. I got injured on the job and I had to go through the whole hiring, getting a new job process and everything. But, you know, that's life, you know.
All right. Well, I wish you well, Richard.
Yeah, man. And Daniel, I got your back. All right. All right. Take care, Jesse.
All
take
right.
Care, man.